Good morning. Welcome to Miami Town Church of Christ. If you don't know by now, my name's David Herbert, and as you can see, we're back to having no church. Just for hopefully this week, but we'll let you know from there. We've had a couple people in the church that have ended up testing positive with COVID, and so we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we don't spread it here. So once again, you're sitting at your home, you're hanging out on your sofa, and hopefully you're joining us as we have church service this morning. So if you were here last week, I started a series that I want to continue today, and the third part of the series will be a few months down the road when I preach again, but the series is called Living for Jesus. We talked about Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jesus' mother, Mary, last week, and how they were some young men and women that were living for Jesus and sharing a characteristic of being committed to their faith. That message was to a specific group. There were people that were 10 years old and all the way through 27 years of age. They're called the Generation Z. But that message, even though it was to that specific group, was a message that I wanted everyone to hear. Now today, I want to talk to another group of people and share another characteristic that is so important to living for Jesus. The group I want to talk to today are the ladies and the mothers that are listening to this sermon right now. But like last week, I want to make sure that the males that are listening right now don't tune out. Men, boys, do I got your attention? I know you're at your house right now lounging around, but please do not sleep through this sermon. This message is for you as well. Even though I'm directly speaking to the women and mothers of the church, this is just as important to everyone. So men and boys, make sure to take notes as well. Now, there are many examples in Scripture of women who lived their lives for Jesus. Not perfect women by any means, but women whose lives are forever changed by the Lord. You have Sarah, you have Lydia, you have Rahab, Naomi, Tamar, Priscilla, just to name a few. And today we're going to examine two women of the Bible whose lives show they're living for Jesus. And those two women are Ruth and Hannah. Now today there is a characteristic that I see in Ruth and Hannah that I believe is just as important as what we talked about last week, being committed to your faith. While there are many characteristics of a woman living for Jesus, my intention this morning is to center on what I believe is a main characteristic of women living for Jesus, and that is faithfulness. But before we talk about Ruth and Hannah, how does Scripture describe faithfulness? Well, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. You'll see it on the PowerPoint, or you can follow along with me in your Bibles at your house. We're going to be going through the few verses in chapter 10 and chapter 11. But first thing these verses will do is they're going to kind of set the bar on faithfulness. We need to understand if we are going to be living for Jesus. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, in the last part of verse 23, it says this of God and of Christ: He who is promised is faithful. That's in Hebrews 10, the last part of verse 23. Now, church, you and I are called to faithfulness because He is faithful. Our faith needs to be rooted in God's unchanging character, not in our ever-changing circumstances. Because no matter what is happening in the world around us, take for instance COVID, He, God, is faithful. He, God, is trustworthy. And He, God, is steadfast, right? So we can have faith in Him and hold fast to Him. His constant faithfulness is the standard. reading on in Hebrews, we see a clearer picture of what faithfulness should look like in our lives. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38, all the way through chapter 11, verse 3, and then on to verse 6. And it says this, "And by my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Now going into chapter 11. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Now into verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Now in those verses, did you see the four characteristics of faithfulness? Well, let me tell you what they are. First, to live faithfully means we will not give in to fear. It says in Hebrews 10:39, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." To be faithful means that rather than shrinking back from the scary, the uncomfortable, the inconvenient world, we answer the call to step up and live in victory. Now I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where when Paul says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." He again says in Deuteronomy that there is a promise given to God's people, which says in Deuteronomy 31:7, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 repeats this promise. It says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Also in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." You know, throughout Scripture, God's people are encouraged to not be afraid, and the writer of Hebrews pulls that idea together with living faithfully. To live faithfully means we will not give in to fear. The second thing that faithfully shows in these verses is to live faithfully means being full of hope. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." To live for Jesus is to be people of hope in a God who is faithful. Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Remember earlier when I quoted scripture when it said, "He who has promised is faithful"? The first part of that verse brings in this idea of hope. It says this, "Let us hold unswaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Church, to live faithfully means being full of hope. The third thing we find in these scriptures is to live faithfully means standing on truth. Hebrews 11, verses 2 and 3. "This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." How do we know that the universe was formed by God? Well, we find it in his word. We find it in the book of Genesis. The rest of Hebrews 11, a section we often call the Hall of Faith, that text illustrates faithful living by using examples of people found where? Well, in the Word of God. To live faithfully means believing and standing on His Word, even when our emotions or our circumstances or the world or even a church may be telling us something different. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you know that, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So to live faithfully means standing on truth. And last but certainly not least, to live faithfully means seeking God. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes after him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. People of faith need to seek the Lord, seek after God. They earnestly and devotedly seek after him, desiring to draw close to him. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Psalm 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. In Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And now we know the characteristics of faith, let's think about Ruth and Hannah and how these ladies were living for Jesus and showing their faithfulness to God and to their family. Let's begin first with Ruth. Ruth's story is found in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And it says this, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, and they lived there for about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown me kindness to your, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. You know, in this one section of scripture, we see Ruth's faith in both God and Naomi. Ruth said, "Your God will be my God." Now that right there is a statement of faith and dedication. That faithfulness is realized when the people and elders of Bethlehem offer this prophetic blessing in Ruth chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. The faithfulness of the Lord continued as eventually Boaz and Ruth had a son, Obed. Naomi was able to become the nurse to Obed, and the women of Israel blessed the Lord for her happiness. This is found in Ruth 4, 14 through 15. "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." And with this, the royal lineage came from Boaz and Ruth, as Obed was the grandfather of King David. And from King David's royal line came the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only was Ruth faithful to her God, but she was also faithful to Naomi. Her faithfulness was so strong that the text says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 18, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. That faithfulness continues as Ruth continually trusts whatever Naomi says, and as a result, gets blessed over and over again. A great example of this is when the harvest season was coming to a close. Naomi wanted a better life and security for Ruth. So Naomi conceived a plan for Ruth to approach Boaz and propose marriage. Ruth trusted her and then did exactly what she said to do. You see, it was custom back in the times of Israel that a near relative marry a widow so that the name of the family would not die out. And Boaz was the closest relative. Ruth trusted her mother-in-law that this action of proposing marriage needed to be done and followed her directions faithfully. You know, things probably looked bleak for Ruth at times. But the mercy of God worked out all things for her because she was faithful. Ruth's example of faithfulness should be encouraging to us. We need to follow her steps, and in doing so, we will be living in faithfulness and living for Jesus. So that was Ruth. So now let's examine Hannah. You find Hannah's story in 1 Samuel, starting with chapter 1. That's verse 1. "There is a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Continuing in verse 17, Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, and she bore a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, Lord, my Lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped there. Hannah was a faithful woman living for Jesus. In verse 3 of chapter 1 in 1 Samuel, we see that Elkanah took his family year after year and went to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice. His wife Hannah was there faithfully serving the Lord. Now, how many of you would admit that it's easier to go to church when things are all well, but when life stinks, it's kind of few and far between the times that we'd like to be here. We see in the scriptures that Hannah is faithful to the worship of her God at Shiloh, even though her heart is broken and her life is less than perfect. The other woman, Elkanah's other wife, is provoking her to irritate her because she is not able to bear children. And while it definitely bothers her, she does not allow it to take away from her faithful worship of God. How many of us can say the same thing? How many of us come here Sunday after Sunday, kind of going through the motions, and there are times that we're hurt, we're bothered, and we let that pain and all that anguish get to us over our worship for God? You know, the greatest example of Hannah's faithfulness to her God comes through her prayer. Hannah not only makes a vow to God, but she is praying so passionately that her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And the priest thinks that she is drunk. Now, notice that once Eli, the priest, tells her that God will answer her prayer, what does Hannah do? Does she look at him and say, yeah, right, you know, another day of false hope. Heard it before, but thanks, but no thanks. No, she doesn't do that. Does she go away in hopes that maybe, just maybe, he's going to be correct? No, she doesn't do that either. She responds in faith. 1 Samuel 1:18, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Being a woman of faith doesn't mean you have it all figured out. It is simply trusting our perfect God because he has it all figured out. You know, in the process of time, God answers Hannah's prayer, and she conceived and had a son. Now, this part of the story is so miraculous that if we are not careful, we're going to miss Hannah's faithfulness to her family. We've already seen how important going to worship and sacrifice to God was in her life, and how that allowed for the miracle in her life. Now, in our text in 1 Samuel 1:21 through 23, we see that her husband is blessed by her dedication to her son and weaning him in order to present him to God. Her faithfulness to her family, along with Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi, reminds me of the virtuous women spoken of in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verses 15 and then 27 through 28 read, she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions to her female servants. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And in the faithfulness showed by Hannah, she then shows the ultimate faith by honoring the vow she has made as she takes her weaned son to Shiloh and gives him to the priest to be used in the Lord's service. Hannah tells Eli in 1 Samuel 1:27 and 28, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. You know, this is a great sacrifice for a mother, to give up her young son. But she was undeterred in fulfilling her vow, because as a woman living for Jesus, she was faithful. Ladies of Miami Town, think of this. When Hannah cried out in despair to God, she could not have imagined that by remaining faithful, her son will become a prophet of God, a judge, and a leader in the nation of Israel. She could not have ever dreamt that her prayer of faith would become part of God's holy writings, the Bible. When Ruth's husband died and her mother-in-law encouraged her to go home, she could not imagine that by remaining faithful to God and to Naomi, that would bless her life and her offspring would end up being part of the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Ladies of Miami Town, by remaining faithful to God and faithful to those individuals he has placed in your life to influence, you are becoming women who are living for Jesus. And only he knows the internal impact that will have. So stay faithful as women of God. Women and men of Miami Town, don't give in to fear. Remain faithful even in the seemingly hopeless situations of life. Stand up for truth and always seek the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, you are incredible. And even through these unrelenting times, these times of that we have no clue what's going on, times of COVID, times, should we be going about our lives? Should we be staying at home? Lord, there are so many things that we don't know, but you do. Lord, you know everything that is happening. You know everything that's going to happen. You our Lord, and help us to remain faithful to you. As we talked about last week, help us stay committed to our faith. And as we talked about this week, faithful to you, just like Ruth and Hannah were. And through our faithfulness, Lord, let us continue our days telling others who you are, living our lives according to your glory. Lord, in everything we say and do, help it to be pleasing and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.